Snow White, Goldilocks, and Cinderella all had one thing in common. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Snow White, Goldilocks, and Cinderella all had one thing in common. What could that be? Well, they were fictional characters. Not really. They were characters of stories that we are told. And yes, that's true, but far from fictional, they're real. They're very real. Snow White, Goldilocks, and Cinderella were pure, and so am I. They were pure. Everything they thought was pure. They didn't think they had a mean stepmother. They didn't think that they had troubles in their life. Goldilocks never thought that something terrible was going to happen to her grandmother. She was skipping through the woods where all around her were seemingly dangers that might harm her, but that never disturbed her. She went to see her grandmother, and her grandmother was taken out by the wolf, and the wolf was in her grandmother's bed looking forward to eating Goldilocks. And Goldilocks says, "Grandmother, what big teeth you have." She was not frightened. She was not afraid. You see, when you are pure, you cannot be touched. Snow White, though her wicked stepmother pushed her out of the kingdom and spoke to the mirror and said, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the most beautiful of all?" And the mirror says, "Not you, you old hag, Snow White." And so the stepmother felt she had to dispose of Snow White because she wanted to be the most beautiful. And my, oh my, oh my. When a witch is beautiful, that's something interesting in them. But Snow White was untouched. Snow White went to work for these seven dwarfs. Snow White never did a stitch of work in her life. She was a princess. Snow White cooked their meals. She never cooked a meal in her life. Yet she cooked the meals for these seven dwarfs. And when any one of them wanted something special, she knew right how to do it, and she did it. And, interestingly, she had all of the commodity to do whatever she wanted to do right there in the house, never going into town to buying groceries and things like that. That wasn't part of the game. The game was there was always everything that she ever needed right there where she was. You see, that's the way it is when you are pure. When you are pure in heart and soul and being, you always have everything you desire right where you are. Cinderella had her fairy stepmother, you know, fairy godmother, that is. And what did she do? She created out of a pumpkin a beautiful carriage. And all of the other creatures that she brought forth to be the horsemen and to be the horses and all these things. And you see, and then the prince found her glass slipper. How interesting. How interesting that all of these things went into making up the story. You see, that's just fact fiction, fairy tale. No. It is the story of a consciousness, the consciousness of a pure being. Cinderella could never lose because she had the consciousness of a pure being. Cinderella lived in a very wicked world, you might say, where her wicked stepmother was doing all sorts of naughty, mean things to her after her father had been so nice to her. And what was her attitude? Her attitude was never one of the wicked stepmother, never one of her wicked stepsisters. She always lived in purity. She did whatever was asked of her, knowing that what was asked of her out of love. She did everything that she thought about, she lived about, she dreamed about, out of love. Love was her only modus operandi, and that's the only thing she knew. And Snow White had to be kissed by a prince who loved her. And here she was, lying out in the forest in her glass-domed tomb, we might say, and the prince came along and did it. You see, all these fairy tales, they all tell the one story of the pure being, the pure girl, the pure boy, Jack and the Beanstalk. He was so pure, he was so magnificent that he couldn't imagine anything being different. Oh, he was a noble boy, too. But the thing is, he was pure. Pinocchio, even though he told his little lies, he was pure. He was pure in heart. Every story that we read, every story that we, the fairy tales of life are all the purity of beingness. And why are they the purity of beingness? Because that's the nature that we would like to inculcate within ourselves. That's the nature we'd like to bring home into our own being and our own life and our own world. That's the nature of our reality. We have stirred from our reality a degree, but it is not far to return. We can return to our original purity and integrity and live in our ideal spirit, mind, and body. Snow White, Cinderella, Goldilocks, all the rest of the fairy tale characters, they lived in purity. They lived in wonder. They lived in magic. And even the most horrendous things happening to them left them untouched. It did not jade their mental attitude of purity. It did not change their mental thinking of always being pure. Not that they thought they were pure. They just were pure. The day that we begin to put on the cloak of purity, which is our original purity and integrity, the moment that we put that on, we will see an entirely different world around us. We'll see a world of joy, of purity, of wholeness, of goodness. We'll see everybody beautiful and fantastic. But mostly, we'll see ourselves always living in our purity. And we won't even realize we're living in our purity, because when you live in your purity, when I live in my purity, I don't know it. I just am it. And when I am it, that's all that really matters, isn't it? Think about these things. Snow White, Goldilocks, Cinderella, all pure. And so am I. So are you. Let this be our blessing for today, that we live in our purity, now and forevermore. I love you. I love you. I love you.